Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But now you finally have a president who understands that I'm not supposed to be the president of the world. I'm supposed to be the president of the United States of America.
Part of the president's comments last night in North Carolina, and boy, he just needs to keep repeating that because it must just eat at the craw of the left. The Barack Obama, he's not the president of the world. He's like, listen, the day I become more popular than Barack Obama in Europe, I'm not doing my job, was another bite that the president gave us last night. So, hey, welcome back into the program. You know, I said this a little earlier. I was just expressing my surprise that it's still a headline in the news that the president alluded to Alabama being in the line of the hurricane, and everybody wants to argue that, of course, they weren't because the hurricane turned north. But all he pointed out was that in the original path of the storm, Alabama could have been affected. As late as this morning, as late as 5 minutes ago, I turned on one of the morning network newscasts here, and what was their not their lead story, but their second to lead story in their newscast was a correspondent in front of the White House talking about the NOAA controversy on the president's map. They're still talking about it. Wouldn't the better second story in a network newscast have been a reporter standing in the Bahamas somewhere that were utterly devastated by the storm, talking about repair efforts instead of concentrating on something that doesn't matter? But that's where the priority of the mainstream media is these days, on things that don't matter. One thing that doesn't matter is gun control legislation that they're going to bring up, because I don't believe Mitch McConnell is going to allow a vote on it. But they're going to make a lot of noise about that, and they've already started in Washington, D.C. Let me get to my guest right now. He is Lars Dahlside. He is a spokesman for the NRA and their legislative arm, the ILA, the Institute for Legislative Action. Lars, great to have you back on the show.
Appreciate you having me again, Mark.
Absolutely. You know, I read the headline this morning that the NRA is going to court over the city of San Francisco because you've got a group of just crazed lefties in California that somehow want to suggest the National Rifle Association is the equivalent of a terror organization. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you get a lot of things that are coming out of San Francisco that are unbelievable these days.
Yeah.
And so to hear them go off the rails like this, it's not all that surprising. It's incredibly disappointing, though, because we are talking about a group. We're representing more than 5 million people. And talk about the supporters, you could probably quadruple, if not expand that number by 10 to 1,000. Who knows? But, yeah, the city of San Francisco decided to go ahead and declare us a terrorist, a domestic terrorist organization. And it's incredibly disappointing, if not outright insulting.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was glad to see the NRA push back on that. You know, one of the things we're going to hear this week, Joe Manchin's been pushing it. Several of the Democratic senators, I've now seen a Republican or two who's been talking about it, is trying to force the president's hand on some new background check bill, which I pointed out, even in this latest crime in Odessa, Texas, wouldn't have made a difference.
Well, that's what we're seeing a lot of these things. There's people who are suggesting all sorts of, we should do this and we should do that. And the problem is that the efforts and the bills and the legislation and restrictions that they're throwing out there either would not have affected an event that has inspired these things, or it has nothing to do with it whatsoever. And there are a number of gun laws that are already on the book. There are thousands of gun laws, if you go across the nation, that are already on the book. And if we would have the ability for the people to go through and be prosecuted and actually be charged and, as I said, prosecuted for these different crimes, then we wouldn't have to worry about adding something new that truly is only going to affect the law-abiding gun owner.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, what concerns me is that you've got people like Senator Romney, Senator Collins, and a few others with an R after their name who are claiming they're going to get on board with this. This is a great example of legislation and legislators who think if they do something, then they can go back and argue to their constituents that they took action. If that something doesn't accomplish anything except affecting law-abiding citizens, why would you do that? I'm baffled by this.
Well, we've seen a whole lot of that lately, the wants and the need and the drive to do something. And the something that needs to be done is actually keeping the guns out of the hands of dangerous criminals, prosecuting the gun crimes, and addressing our broken mental health system. And that's the thing that's missing. Now, there are, as I said before, there are already bills. There's already laws on the books that do these things and address these things. They're just not being utilized.
No, I would agree completely with that. I wonder when I see, for example, I think it was Chuck Schumer who argued last week that if you had just made the changes we wanted, the guy in Odessa wouldn't have been able to get a gun. They're focusing on people who are private sellers of guns who apparently have a business doing it. But by doing that, they're not following the law either. I mean, the point is they're not enforcing the laws that would prevent people from doing what some of these, in effect, unlicensed gun dealers are doing. One more law is not going to stop them.
Right. It's, you know, I'm sorry that I keep repeating myself, but that is the main problem right now, is people are breaking the law. And when people break the law, the response should not be, let's pass new laws that actually won't have any effect on what just happened, because there are already laws on the books that do affect what just happened. And if we could get people focused in on that, the idea that restricting the rights of people who are actually following the law is not going to affect those whose only issue or whose only drive is to actually break the law. Let's treat the criminals like criminals and leave the law-abiding gun owners alone.
So has the NRA agreed to any of these changes or any change at all that's been suggested when it comes to current gun laws? Has the NRA signed on to any of those, like the bump stock ban or any of that?
We haven't been pushing any sort of new gun control whatsoever.
I didn't think so. I just wanted to I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something here, because I thought I'd read somewhere at some point that there was some indication somebody would look the other way if on the bump stock ban or something. Is the bump stock ban something the NRA supported or just didn't take a position on?
Well, we said that the ATF should go ahead and look at that and decide how to classify those. And they did and came forth with that action. But we weren't supporting any legislation whatsoever that would have restricted anyone's rights.
Right. Yeah, it was. It's an accessory is what it is. It's not a part of, it's not a firearm. So I agree with you completely on that one. What about the situation at Walmart? I mean, I know the NRA issued a statement on it. Again, the only people they're impacting there really are everyday sportsmen who want to go there to buy ammunition for their handguns.
Right. There are plenty of retailers out there who go ahead and sell ammunition. There are, of the national side, you have the mom and pop stores out there that sell that. You have, as my favorite example, I'd like to say Bob's Gun Shop. It's right there down the road. There are plenty of opportunities and places to go. And if you're going to throw a little bit more money into the smaller businesses, then great. That's the way to go. And it is disappointing to see that Walmart would go ahead and react the way that they did.
Yeah. We see it over and over again, particularly here in the state of Illinois, where they've passed laws now under Governor Pritzker that so choke with regulations, these small business owners, that a lot of the mom and pop gun stores in Illinois are facing the threat of extinction.
Yeah, we have seen that in Illinois. And we warned about that as they were considering those different bills. about what it was going to mean to these smaller gun shops. And everyone was like, no, no, that's not going to happen. That's not the intent. Well, that's the problem. It's never the intent. The intent is always to make things perfect and beautiful and fantastic. But when you put these things into practice, there are the unintended consequences that come through, and we're seeing that happen right now.
Yeah, very true. When part of the talking points to the Democrats earlier this week, and it's not just Democrats saying this, but Amy Klobuchar, I know, said it, Beto O'Rourke, a few of the others, they are all in on reinstituting the so-called assault weapons ban, even though I don't believe there's anything such as an assault weapon, at least it's available for the general public. They're all in. For 2020, that is, you know, they've got people promising, like Kamala Harris, if she gets elected, she's taking executive action on something like this, which I think would be stopped dead in the courts. What's the NRA's position on all of the language that we're hearing from these candidates on the left side of the aisle right now?
Well, all you have to do is go back to the 1990s and look at what Bill Clinton did with his assault weapons ban. It sounded like a good idea. It sounded like a great idea. They put it in place. They have it run for 10 years. And after it's done, they do an investigation and find out that it had no impact. It had no impact whatsoever. And if that's the case, if back then, when we're talking, 24 years ago, 25 years ago, if it didn't have any impact then, why do they expect that it's going to have an impact now? And one of the other things that people just don't realize when you look at that, the type of firearms that they're talking about, they're responsible for, I think it's a tenth of 0.1% of all firearm-related homicides. So they're not actually going after anything that is going to make a big difference. It's just a nice way to grab headlines and, you know, hopefully score a few more political points.
Yeah, that's all I can figure. Maybe the same thing as the folks at NASCAR. I saw where the NRA ILA had responded to that as well. And I had a gentleman on last week discussing it. But these organizations seem to have boards that are run by politically correct folks these days who, if they don't understand their base any better than that, I mean, beyond the fact that it's just bad business, they announced, NASCAR announced, for people that didn't keep up with it, that they were no longer going to accept any advertising from people that sold long rifles.
Yeah, it's something to see. But as these things go forward, there's a big move right now. There's a big push with the campaigns coming up in 2020 that you're going to have everyone over there who's trying to grab headlines, running for president on the Democratic side, that they're going to try to make these outlandish pushes, these outlandish claims. And this is just another example of another group sort of falling in with that. Now, you have there the boards there that with people with a variety of different backgrounds that may not actually understand the firearm side of what the people do, what the people are. I mean, when you talk about the average law-abiding gun owner, you're talking about the doctors and lawyers and the guy who coaches your kid's soccer team, the person who's, you know, running the swim team down there at the YMCA. These are not bad people. These are good law-abiding people who are only looking to protect themselves, protect their families, and protect their homes.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I would encourage people, and maybe you can just cover this for me real quickly. The legislative arm of the IRA of the NRA pays close attention to laws that are going on, let's say, for example, in Illinois, because Missouri, we seem to have a pretty good handle on that. But in Illinois and some of these other states where they're really trying to get off track with some of these laws in the state, that's what you guys do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we try to stay on top of everything that's going on nationally, everything that's going on state by state. And then as things go down to sometimes even city by city, it all depends on exactly what's out there, how they're trying to come after the law-abiding gun owner, and what we can do to make sure that everybody's rights are protected.
Yeah. Lars, the website is nraila.org. I would encourage people to go on there and sign up for updates so you have an idea on what's going on around the country. Lars Dahlside, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, always good to get you on here. Appreciate that. And our thanks to the friends over at the Range St. Louis West who sponsor our 2A Tuesday, where we try to keep you up to date on some of what's going on around the country. Unbelievable. The Board of Aldermen in the city of San Francisco, I don't think that's what they call them, but their city board of supervisors declared the National Rifle Association, a lobbying organization protecting my Second Amendment rights, a domestic terror organization. But what did they not see what Planned Parenthood did last year? The NRA didn't take a single life. They weren't responsible for any member of the NRA taking a single life last year. And this is the kind of garbage. Fortunately, the NRA's gone to a court to sue over it. I was glad to see that. And, you know, I did bring it up with Lars there, but this is a story this morning. Mitt Romney, Mittens, as we like to call him, he's going all in for universal background checks. And I don't know how often you can go over this again and again. The argument most recently was the case in Odessa, where the guy was turned down when he went for a background check. Okay? This happens. People get turned away. Does it mean they should be prosecuted because they tried to go in and apply for a license to get again? I'm not sure you'd go in and apply knowing you were going to get turned down. And then he went somewhere else and got the gun. They seem to think that if they had universal background checks, that they would have stopped that. But there are already laws on the books, as Lars said, that prevent you from selling a weapon to somebody who shouldn't have one. And there's a long list of reasons why somebody shouldn't have one. And if you're selling a gun in a private transaction and you don't ask those questions, you are violating, you're a criminal. So whoever sold that gun to him committed a criminal act and should be prosecuted. You don't need another layer of background checks to make that situation illegal, because that's what criminals do. And yet now you've got Mitt Romney on there. You've got the Senator Susan Collins, who's trying to get reelected, has signed on board with something like this. And they're starting to threaten the president that he's got about a week to get this done. And if he won't come back to them in that period of time, then we're running out of time. We're going to try to negotiate with him so he'll do something. He's got to do something. That's the talking point these days, is something. Something's got to be done. Even if it would make not one shred of difference that a maniac is going to pick up a gun and harm somebody with it. I would agree with our caller earlier. Maybe a 10-year minimum mandatory sentence would have an impact on this. If you're caught with a gun, you're not supposed to have it, you're committing a crime with it, automatic 10 years, then we'll talk about every other crime you committed. Just automatic. Throw them in jail. That's how that works.